Podcast. This is episode 122. I am Derek. With me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What up, man?
Not much. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Buy your stuff that way. Do your Christmas shopping that way. Help us out. You know, we like doing the podcast, but it's not free. So, you know, throw us something.
Yeah, and if you order today, tomorrow, I think, like, Amazon's really good about their shipping for Christmas. And they'll actually let you know, because I ordered some stuff for the family last night. Yeah. And they'll let you know when it's going to arrive. Like, they'll let you know
They change that this time of year, don't they?
Yeah, so they specifically let you know if it will arrive for Christmas or not, which is good.
Definitely.
Yeah. And if you have family that lives out of town or something like that, they do gift wrapping and all that kind of stuff. Too, which is nice.
Yeah, and you know, everybody buys everything online now, so
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of shopping on Amazon lately. A lot of deals because it is holiday season too. There's been so many awesome things, like things that are never normally on sale. Like there were Asus and Gigabyte motherboards have been on sale. A lot of Logitech stuff's been on sale. Like stuff that's not normally on sale has been on sale, and all Amazon products have been on sale. So if you're looking to pick up, like, an Amazon smart device or something like that, now's the time, because Amazon wants to sell them, and they're continually on sale, which is good. Yeah,
they're like half off this time of year, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so anyways, it is Monday.
Yes.
We did two weeks at Sunday, and now we're back.
Yes.
We're back to recording here on Monday. So let's just jump right into it. And you got the chance to check out your first ever gaming chair. I know you definitely have seen them before, but it's the first time you've actually had a chance to sit down and use one for a long period of time.
And it changed my perspective on it, because they have them all over the place, especially at like CES. Everybody will have gaming chairs and stuff, and you see them, and they seem really gimmicky if you don't use one, they don't have one, and replace your chair with it. But once I got this thing and I put it together and I used it for a few weeks, I can understand the hype. They're just really comfortable. It's a lot better than my previous office chair, which wasn't a bad chair. Just the materials used and the fit, I think, is a lot better in like the racing seat inspired gaming chair. Specifically, this is the Opsseat Master Series chair, and it's very similar to, I don't even know, how do you describe these brands, Bob, this like tier of resale?
I would just say, you know, it is the quintessential racing style gaming chair, and I think that the only thing that makes these, like, they're all based primarily on the same design. The big differences you'll see in these chairs is the material that they're made out of, the thickness or lack thereof of the foam, and then obviously, like, if it comes with a lumbar and head pillow, if it doesn't, like, that's kind of what separates all the different brands, because there's so many right now. All the chairs look pretty much the same.
The frame seems all the same. A lot of it seems the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, and this is the only one gaming chair that I've had, like we said. So, I can't really compare it to others, but as it is, I mean, you've got a lot of functionality and a lot of adjustability in it. From the armrests or the 4D, they move in like every direction, which is nice. The material, like the memory foam, is really nice because it's not overly soft, so that you're not like sinking through to like the support underneath. So it you can sit in this chair for a really long time and stay comfortable, which I have. I've had some good sessions in it and I've really enjoyed it. The only things that I didn't like with it is that it sits too high, in that the piston, the pneumatics for height adjustment, it starts too high off the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like, I'm not that tall of a guy. I'm like 5'10", and my feet are basically, it's kind of like, I would say it's the bare minimum height for like my leg length, because my feet just sit flat on the ground.
Interesting.
And I actually prefer to be a little lower so I can put my legs up when I'm sitting. So it's something to consider, especially if you're like shorter than 5'10", which is a lot of people. that you don't really want, you're not going to want your legs to be dangling off the end of your chair you're trying to sit in for hours. So
for sure, for sure.
Something to think about. And I don't really like the lumbar pillow, even though I need it because my back is bad. It kind of pushes you off the chair.
One thing I noticed about, because I'll be reviewing a chair like this next week, is that the lumbar pillow pushes your back off the seat to the effect that the head pillow isn't as effective either. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, because you can't, you're not going back to the same position with your
head. Yeah, so that's one thing I did find. I would hope in the future that if you know, obviously this is a thing, but if more time is taken to design these chairs, that's something that's looked at as well. Because I do like the lumbar support, and it definitely helps, but it doesn't allow you to sit back correctly, so the back of the chair, the head pillow, and everything else actually works correctly in most of these designs that I've seen.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where, if you're comparing this to like a really high-end office chair, the ergonomic study is not there with these.
Yeah,
they're really good general shapes, but as far as the really minute adjustment, you're not gonna get it.
Correct. I agree with you there.
But price wise, I think this was $250.
$250.
Yeah, $219.
$219. Oh, that's not bad at all.
They've been running a lot of sales too.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's so much stuff on sale right now, because of the holiday season. So it'd be definitely a good time to pick up one of these chairs. I think it's
good value for that price.
Yeah, and I think that again, we spend so much time worrying about what's inside of our PC, and we don't think enough about what's outside. Because obviously, if you're sitting in an uncomfortable chair for long periods of time, that's going to affect, you know, especially when you get up, how your back feels, how your body feels, and you don't want to feel that way. And of course, you don't want to be uncomfortable either.
No, and I think that can impact the way you feel about a game almost, or a session, you know, whatever you're doing. If you're uncomfortable when you're done, like, it's going to affect the way you enjoyed that thing.
Exactly. So you would definitely recommend a chair like this to somebody?
Yes, definitely.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think they all have this, but the recline feature, where it basically drops it like to a flat plane, is really nice if you're going to sit there and watch movies at your desk
too. I've done that multiple times with a couple chairs I have here. It's a nice thing that you don't normally get with other office chairs either.
Yeah, not at all.
Most of those do not give you that function. So if you are, you know, either at the office or you're at home and you're in front of your computer where you spend most of your time and you just want to watch some YouTube videos, you can, you know, just lean all the way back and just relax. So
yep.
Very, very cool. So yeah, so it's cool that you got to you know, because just like I was just like you, I thought these were totally gimmicky, and then I got one and I was like, wow, this actually works correctly.
It's
so
it's not half bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So very, very cool. And then we will go to the probably, I would say this is the most in-depth case I've reviewed all year. I would say that.
What do you mean by in-depth?
There's just so much to it. It is really designed for the high-end builder who wants so much functionality, and there's just so much you can do with this case.
Gotcha. It's just feature after feature.
Yeah, there's just so much in this. So the case I'm talking about is Be Quiet's Dark Base Pro 900, and this is their flagship big boy case. This is a full tower. This thing's huge. It is a very, very big case. And just to talk about design, it looks like most of their dark base cases that has the same design. Tempered glass side panel, which is huge, takes up the entire side panel. And one thing that is very interesting, and that Be Quiet did this first, NZXT's latest cases have this now as well, is that in order to keep the good look of the case, there's no vents on the top of the case or the front of the case. What they actually do is on the side panels, it's all mesh, like a section of mesh above, below, on both sides of the side panel that allows air to get in. And I don't know what, I actually have the case here. I forget what it's called. The latest NZXT case. I think it's the H700i or something like that. I have it here.
I'm not familiar now.
that case is designed exactly like this. So you have that really sweet looking case, but you still get the ability to have, you know, air flowing in and out of the case. Yeah, so that's so it's one thing.
It into the sides instead of through a large hole in the top.
Yeah. So one thing, you have that. You have, you know, a great look. This comes with two RGB LED strips. So one thing I've always talked about with tempered glass cases is that you need something to light up the inside. And you don't want to obviously not have that, I think. I think all tempered glass cases, at least in the higher end over $100, should have some type of LED strip. So you get two here, and those can be controlled via the front of the case. You also get three of Be Quiet's Silent Wings three fans, and these are their high-end fans. Like most cases ship with just crap fans. The Silent Wing 3s are their flagship fan. They're, I think, almost close to $30 a piece, and you're getting three of them with the case. You also get a wireless charger. So if you have a newer iPhone or if you have an Android phone, it uses wireless charging. That's built into the case on the top. So especially if you have this case sitting beside you, you can plop your phone on top and it's charging, which is cool.
That's pretty cool.
The entire inside of the case is modular. So the motherboard tray can be completely removed, but also it can be moved up and down. So if you're doing a crazy water cooling build and you have a really thick radiator, you can move it down to, so you actually have room for that thick radiator up top.
More clearance up top?
Yeah, more clearance. And they've actually engineered the back power supply so you can actually do that. So you can actually move the power supply out of the way of your motherboard if you're moving it down, which is really cool. And you can also flip the motherboard completely the opposite direction, so you can do reverse ATX in this too. So there's a lot. All of the there's seven hard drive, individual hard drive cages, and they're all modular as well, so you can take them out. Each cage supports either a 3.5 inch drive or two 2.5 inch drives. So with all of those, plus there is a single 2.5 inch tray on the back, you could do a total of 15 SSDs in this. it has everything.
It sounds like it.
It's like, this is the case that Be Quiet was like, let's do this. This is for the ultimate builder. It also comes with, like most cases you have to buy these separate, but it comes with mounts for your pump and for your reservoir as well. So again, this is really designed for somebody who's, you know, doing a crazy build. Because it is a full tower, you have support for EATX and XLATX motherboards. Tons of room for water cooling. I think you can do four 480s in the top and the front. This is just like the ultimate big boy case. Just a ton of room, easy to build in. The only thing that I really felt that was missing on this is that because the motherboard tray is, you know, you can move it up and down and all that, is that there's just a big space there where all your cables kind of go. There's no power supply cover, which
was what I was going to ask.
There's no power supply cover. I really wish they would have put that in here, just for the fact that it just cleans up that area.
Looks like something that somebody, you can actually mod.
Oh yeah, you could easily build one for this. For sure. And I'm really surprised that they didn't later make something like that, you know what I mean? Just because, again, this is a really customizable case and a really, you know, like I said, this is their flagship. So I would have been cool if I could go to their website and pick one up or something like that.
Yeah, that aspect of it is a little bit old fashioned in that you can't do that.
You
would have thought that it would have had a removable shroud so that you could do that.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, it would have been nice to do that, to have that ability.
The other thing I was wondering, those hard drive brackets, they look kind of restrictive for airflow.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. And they're made of metal.
Yeah.
So that could be an issue in the front of the case. That's just something you're going to have to deal with. I felt it was, and the way they're designed is kind of odd, because if you remove a few, like, your build just looks weird without them all populated too.
Okay.
That was just like an aesthetic thing for me.
Yeah, and there's nowhere else to put them to install a drive at.
Correct.
Okay, there's no like mounts in the back panel or anything.
No.
Yeah, that would be
Oh.
like if you removed everything in the front in order to put, you know, just radiators front, top, and bottom. But then your drive trays are just gonna what, hang out in the middle there, I guess. Or one or two, or yeah,
Yeah,
that's.
it's just weird. I think that they did so much right with this case. You
Yeah.
can't fault them for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But again, there are some things that could have been fixed. And one thing that I did want to point out too is the door on the front. So this case has that door that we've seen on so many cases, just a big door in the front that keeps the look of the case great. That door is aluminum, I believe, which is cool. But it swings open like crazy. Like if you have hardware installed on this and you pick up the case, that door's gonna open. It's just not held into place well.
Really?
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed is, but again, it's not a big issue because unless you're going to LAN parties a lot, you're not really moving your case around that much,
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
And the thing, and another thing I did want to point out is that this case is not cheap. It's $249.
But for the full tower market, that's pretty much
Yeah,
everything.
and the thing is, you have the full tower. You have it's a big tempered, like a massive tempered glass side panel. This isn't a,
Yeah.
a little one, and you have three basically $30 fans in there.
Yeah, those fans are actually legit. I reviewed them years ago, and they are very nice fans.
Yeah, this case is whisper quiet when you have stuff, when you have your
Nice.
system running. Yeah, so in the one like talking about being quiet, there's sound dampening material on the backside panel as well as the front of the case. I mean, it has all these premium features that you want, but again, 249,
Yeah,
I think,
it's
like I said,
yeah.
they've done so much right with this case. If you're a builder and you're going to make use of all these great features, it's worth it for you, I
Yeah.
think.
I
If
think it's
you're
just the form factor for the pricing. Like, full tower cases are just expensive.
This is true,
So it's something to consider. I also want to say, if you consider yourself a PC guy, a PC builder, modder, what have you, do yourself a favor at one point in your fan, your modding life, get a full tower. At least at one point and have one and mod it and build in it and enjoy that. The space is so nice.
I love having the space. Like I said, I had that Cooler Master, the Cosmos 2, for years until I retired it recently. And that
It's
was one
just
of my favorite,
whenever you're like, oh, can I fit it? Yeah, you can fit it, and you can fit two of whatever it is. Like, it's such a nice feeling.
Doing a full tower build is so fun. It's something that, like you said, everybody should experience.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So.
A question about the light strips. Are they RGB?
It's they're they tech I mean they are RGB,
Okay.
but you can only change them to a few colors. You don't have full control, so the
So it's not
controls
full
are
spectrum RGB.
not that I believe. So you can
Okay.
do white, red, green, blue, and then the be quiet orange, and then off.
Interesting. And then,
Yeah.
of course, being as that you can't plug them into a motherboard.
Correct. They plug into the controller. There's a fan hub slash I guess you would call it LED hub on the back side of the motherboard tray where the fans plug in and where the LED strips plug in, and then you control both the fan all the fans as well as the RGB strips from the front of the case, which I do like.
Where on the is it on the top? Oh yeah, yep, right there.
It's in the back center. Oh, the controller. It's when you open the door, it's right on the top.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, like I said, tons of features. They basically threw every cool thing you could have in this. I think they did a great job. I just think that there's a few things that could have been done better. But yeah.
Yeah. I want to say you're always gonna say that, but some companies do it better or have done it better.
Yes. And I do have to say, this case came out in like March or April, maybe,
Okay.
or maybe summertime. So it's been out for a good bit. It's not like,
Yeah,
so
they
like
just
some of the,
released this.
yeah. So it's not like it was. This is the newest thing, and it's been out for a little bit. So, but like I said, this is an awesome case. Yeah. There's just nice.
I think there's value there in the pricing too, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, I just think like when you get over 200 for a PC case, you're going into a totally different realm.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what one thing that I, you know, was really thinking about when doing this review is.
You said it's got brushed aluminum and stuff on it.
Yeah, brushed aluminum. Like I said, tempered glass side panel, those three included fans, RGB strips. The fan hub has room for four more fans. You know, removable motherboard tray, which you don't often see at all. And then, like I said, room for a ton of water cooling in there. I mean, it's like I said, it's a good case.
Yeah, it's right into the price range of the Fantex Enthuprimo. So, and feature-wise and case size-wise, I'd say that's... I won't, not having seen the Be Quiet, I'd say it's pretty competitive there.
All right. So, well,
that's a little bit different, a little different thing, but yeah, I think that it's right in there.
Yeah, like I said, and just like you said, the full tower is something that has, it's kind of a beast all of its own, and you know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, so definitely check out the review. I kind of go into depth on all the different features of the case, and you can see what it really looks like, because it's a beast. It's a big boy, so I like it. And it would be awesome to do like a crazy water cooled multiple GPU build in this. I think you could do something really cool. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. And we'll go to our final review this week. And Ryan took a look at the Rocket Sora FX, and this is a full keyboard, but it has the frameless design, which I love. I hate keyboards that are larger than they need to be. I'm like,
bezels and
I used
such.
To be like the big keyboard guy, right? Like I want this big thing on my desk, and now I'm like this guy who wants like this
minimalist.
Yeah, I just like just all I can see is the keys. I don't want any extra junk. So this is a full keyboard, frameless design, RGB backlighting, mechanical. These are TTC mechanical switches, so they're not true Cherry switches, but they're, you know, they're mechanical, just like we've seen so many Cherry, I guess you would call them knockoffs. But they always do well. I think that if you're somebody like us, you can tell the difference between a Cherry and a non-Cherry switch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people can't. And I think that if you're coming from a dome-style keyboard to one of these mechanical keyboards, you're really not. It's not going to matter to you anyways, I think.
This is a night and day difference between dome to any mechanical switch.
Yes. So Ryan really liked it. Like I said, the frameless design, RGB backlighting, the software was really good as well. Easy to use. He didn't like it that there was no wrist rest. I think that if you have the frameless design, a wrist rest is something you might want to think about, especially on a full size keyboard.
It doesn't come with one at all.
It doesn't come with one.
And that's, as you know, it's a personal preference item, but you do kind of want to see it at least come with the wrist rest.
Yeah, I think most full size keyboards, although the Cooler Master ones didn't. I know their newer ones do, but the ones that I reviewed earlier this year, all of those did not. And that's one of the things I said is that, especially for the full sizes, a wrist rest would have been nice.
It all depends too.
Yeah.
But I think that in the frameless design, that is one of the things that you feel missing is there's no bump at the bottom to like kind of push your hand up.
Yeah, that's very true. I think when the keyboard that I use now, which is that small little Drevo keyboard, it took a little bit to get used to without the wrist rest, and now I'm full no wrist rest. but yeah, I think it does, because if you're used to that, and I'm used to a wrist rest, and I used to be a full big keyboard guy with the full big wrist rest and all that, and now I'm not. So yeah, it is a preference thing, but I think that you should be able to have the ability to choose, right?
Yeah, the option would be nice.
Yeah, the option to choose. So but yeah, it is a little expensive too. This one's $140.
You know, without the Cherry switches, that's where the difference is.
Without the Cherry switches, while this does have really good software, I just think $140.
That's Cherry switch land.
Yeah,
is into that mid 100 to 200 range, right in the middle there is.
Yeah, I do have to say, you know, maybe some of that cost comes with the software, because Rocket software is amazing. You can do a lot with it. It is one of the most in-depth softwares for gaming that you can find. There's so much you can do with it. So maybe that's some of the cost. You know, you're going to get really full control over the entire keyboard and full control over the lighting as well. So most of these RGB keyboards, sometimes you'll be able to fully customize per key, sometimes you won't. This will give you full key customization, as well as, you know, you can fully remap this keyboard, which some keyboards you just can't. That's not the software that don't allow it. So
I think that you can get, there are keyboards out there with, you know, full Cherry Mechanical and software.
I agree. Range. Yes.
Nothing against Rocket. I know that they make really great products. It's just tough when it comes down to price to just kind of say the software makes it worth it.
Because I think the Cooler Masters are the, you know, the same design, and those have the true Cherry MX switches. Let me see how much those are.
And the switch. You know, as much as you say most people won't notice, and I think I agree with that most of the time, it just takes a few sessions and you can feel the difference. To me, it's a different key experience. And I think with a Cherry key, you're more likely to have a longer lasting switch because they have a really high quality standard. The other switches are all, I mean, they exist to fill a price void.
Yeah.
They exist because they're cheaper.
Let's see. We actually reviewed the MK750, which does come with a wrist rest, full-size keyboard, frameless design, pretty much, RGB backlighting, true Cherry MX switches is $149.99.
Yeah, and that's the trouble. You're going to get the same thing from Razer, too, and many other companies.
So that's the thing. I think that's where this keyboard... include the wrist rest and maybe bump it down to $129. I think you'd have a winner.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so, but definitely check it out. We do love Rocket Gear. They do make really unique products, and their software is amazing. So yeah. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and of course that is where we show off a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a NVIDIA themed build. This one comes from Dutch Lion Customizing, who I don't think we've ever featured.
The name is really interesting.
Dutch Lion. Yeah, it's done in the Inwin 303, which is a larger version of the 301, which I reviewed, which I love this case. I love the outside more than the inside.
You're talking about the stenciling or
the graphics? Yeah, the outside has the, I guess you would call it the NVIDIA Polygon.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, the NVIDIA Polygon type logo. Sort of like the same type of design that you see on the 10 series
on the
Founders Edition cards.
The stealth shapes.
Yeah, the stealth shapes. He has done that on the top in the front of the case, and I just love that. I think that's super cool.
Is it a reflective paint on the front, or is it actually backlit? Because in some of the photos, they actually look like those shapes are backlit.
I think it's just a reflective paint.
Okay, reflective in creative lighting?
Yeah, okay. I'm almost positive. I see what you're saying, but I think it's just paint.
Okay.
So you have that on the outside, and then on the inside, you have a pretty interesting water-cooled build here. I don't know what GPU block that is, but I like it.
Yeah, it's interesting in that it has the GeForce engraving on the acrylic on the front of the block.
Yeah, I think he might have done that.
I think you'd have to. I don't think there's a block that comes that way.
Yeah, so that is really cool. He uses those hexagonal reservoirs as well. Those are the Bits Power.
Hexarises, yep.
Yeah.
He's got a really unique... Is this a block, just an acrylic block on the left-hand side? It's the GeForce shape. It's got to just be a block. I don't think it's functional. Maybe you could
call it a reservoir. Oh, interesting. I did not even notice that.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a pass through to hold coolant, but it's got the NVIDIA
logo in it.
Logo cut out on a steel plate over top of acrylic.
That is, I did not even notice that at all. That is very cool.
It's really cool. It does a nice, it forms an X through it, through the middle of the case. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a cool build. Done in a case that I love. It's just so well done.
I gotta be honest. I love seeing the green, the neon green. It's so old school.
Yeah, I know. That's what this build, while
back, and I love it still.
While it's new, yeah, that color was like everybody was doing like their first water cooled builds with like the green coolant. I think that was like one of the only colors that was available too in coolant back in the day.
Could be. Well, I mean, yeah. It's the color of actual coolant from a car.
Yeah,
it could be that people were using actual coolant.
Yeah, could have been.
I know that people did for a while. Like they thought that you needed to use an actual coolant, so they would.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And then he has black lights in there, which give it a really cool glow. And then he has on the side panel window.
Old school.
Yeah, it's very old school. On the side panel window, it says NVIDIA GeForce GTX. So maybe we'll see this at CES.
I hope so. Yeah. I like he. One last thing, he blacked out the inside too.
Yeah, he did.
With black paneling.
Yeah, I like that. It gives it just a clean look. And on the front, he modded the where it says Inwin, that is normally blue backlighting there. He made it green, which is cool too. So
yeah. I'm thinking that CES this year that Inwin will have RGB for that portion of the cases if they still continue with that.
I think they should because the 301, the 303 are just such great cases.
Yeah.
It's just so well made and everything. So hopefully we'll see all that. So, and talking about case mod Friday, what is today? Today's 18th.
Yeah.
We'll be doing our best case mods of 2017. Getting there, cool. Man. So yeah, I'll get to. I think I'm gonna pick five. Like I did every year, I usually pick five. So we'll pick five, and let's see who wins. Yeah. So definitely. I'm excited for that. So. We will go on to news this past week, and the big news was the performance of NVIDIA's recently announced Titan V, or Titan, I guess you call it Titan V.
I wanted to think it was the Titan 5. I couldn't remember how many Titans there had been, but yeah, it's the V for
Volta. Yeah, it's their V for Volta, yes. Yeah. So, first off, the Titan V was benchmarked against a 1080 Ti. And definitely came ahead, for sure.
Yeah. Did it come ahead enough?
See, if you look at it, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Ashes of Singularity, and the Superposition 8K Optimized, you have 27% percentage gain, 26% percentage gain, and 30% percentage gain. But if you do the Superposition 1080p Extreme Benchmark, it has an 87% percentage gain, so it's kind of all over the map here.
I'm not familiar with Superposition.
It is the we use it for our benchmarks. We started using it this past year. It is sort of like the new Heaven benchmark. Same company makes it.
What would give it an 87% gain in that over the actual games? What is different? Because that's not it doesn't coincide. It's an outlier. I think if you were, if you were graphing, you would throw that out.
Yeah, but it's weird that it does that. With these graphics cards, you really have to sit down with them and
really figure out what's different.
Yeah, and see, obviously that looks like an outlier. Like everything else is 27 to 30%.
Yeah.
And this one's 87, so you have to see why it's doing that and what's causing that. We've seen that. Just with the difference between NVIDIA and AMD cards, you see in certain games some things will perform better and
yeah,
and in some resolutions some things will perform better. Just like the 8K optimized is 8K resolution, whereas the 1080p is 1080p resolution. So there's some
which is surprising. I would have thought that the 8K would have been a big difference. I thought that would be where it would have. Which I guess it's. Against the other two tests, it's 3 and 4% faster, so it is a bit better in 8K. But I would have thought we would have seen a large jump, because that's historically going from 1080 to 4K was where we saw the big leaps in performance.
Yeah,
from like 9 series to 10 series cards.
Yeah.
So, Bob, is Is 26%, is that worth $1,000?
No.
$2,000?
No.
Okay.
Oh, and for the fact that $300, my bad. Yeah. Well, the thing is too is you could, I mean, I don't know how well the scaling is for NVIDIA, but I mean, you can get another 1080 Ti and SLI them
for still much less, for half the price
of Titan. So
and that should scaling even at like 75%, which I think you can expect. So better than 75 at dual SLI, you can probably expect 90% or better.
Yeah, so
yeah. Yeah, I would think that you'd probably close this gap down. I think we will see those tests soon-ish as people have had more and more time with the Titan.
Yeah.
Run out of things to test.
Yeah, I agree. So that's kind of like the game. So we have everything listed in that article, so you guys can check that out. And we'll move over to mining, which every new car that comes out, you want to see how well it mines.
Sure.
So the guys over at Hardware... you know, in their testing, they test how well their graphics cards mine or Ethereum, which is kind of still, most people I know are still mining it. I do some mining of it as well. And,
really? Because I heard you couldn't mine it Ethereum anymore. Is that wrong?
That's very wrong. Sorry, man. Yeah, I talked to Anthony at Tweaktown. He'll tell you that's very wrong.
Okay.
So, the Titan V, it mines all the way up to 82, I guess it's mega hashes. I don't even know what MHS stands for, to be honest. We're going to call it mega hashes. Okay. So around 82 mega hashes a second. Now, compared to my own mining, using the Claymore miner, because that's what I use, a 1080 Ti does around 34, 35.
Oh, shit.
So that's a big jump. Yeah. Now, that's slightly overclocked. On stock settings, it does 69 mega hashes a second, which is still about double.
Yeah, do we know it's slightly overclocked?
They have it in their article. Okay. It is, let me see. They have the screenshot 30, there. 35. Yeah.
Base clocks. I don't remember the base clocks either.
Let's see here. But it is slightly overclocked.
I don't remember. Where's the base clock?
So the power target is set to 120%. The GPU clock is at 1335.
NVIDIA listed.
And the memory is
It's 1200 base clock.
Okay, so
that is pretty slight. It's actually below the boost clock speed.
Yeah, and then the memory slightly overclocked as well. But you can see even if you're just pushing it a little bit, the amount of performance, at least in mining, that you're going to get, and I think that's what a lot of... I mean...
This card is probably better at mining than it is at playing games.
Correct. And at the normal... let's see. Overclocked, 237 watts being pulled by the card, which isn't bad.
No,
you know, if you're pulling 82 hashes, that would be like per month, just this is my estimation, probably around $220 just the card itself. So
that you're gonna make
and 237 watts running would be like $20-$30.
Pretty good value there.
Yeah, so you get around 200, like you would net around, you know, 180 to $200 a month.
So at $3,000 at 180, this is assuming you can just run it 24/7.
Correct. It's
only 16 and a half months until you've paid that.
Well, that is of course based on the difficulty as that changes over time, mining difficulty, or the price of Ethereum. Because again, once you get your deposit, that money or that percentage of Ethereum that you get either goes up or down in value, so you don't know. So if Ethereum crashes, so does your earnings.
It's much less, actually.
Yeah, so you never know.
Much more.
Yeah, people have asked me this over the past few weeks. A couple of my friends, who obviously, you know, cryptocurrency is huge. Should I buy a computer to mine or not? You know, and it's kind of in the air because one, you have obviously the cost and then making back that cost. So you never know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I would guess that buying. Probably not to mine the big three, right? Maybe if you're mining something else that takes off.
Possibly, yes. I mean, you can always be switching. So, like, I've mined a bunch of different cryptocurrencies here. You know, but the stable one, the one that I use and that Anthony at Tweaktown, we still do Ethereum. That's what we still do. But yeah, I mean, if you know, like, I know a couple of guys are doing ETN, which is Electronium. They're mining that.
Yeah.
When they're getting good results, it's just, is that going to take off? Is anybody going to use it? You know, that's only traded on like two different exchanges right now. So, you know.
Yeah, you're gambling that it goes.
Yes.
Whereas in the past, I mean, you were pretty safe to mine Bitcoin because that was like the coin, right?
Yeah.
And then Ethereum came along and that was pretty safe because that was the coin.
Yeah.
And Lite, and that was the coin. But now there's, I mean, the coins we're talking about at this point, like Electronium, they're so minor.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
they have way more competition. Right now.
But again, I mean, that's what they said about Bitcoin 3 years ago, and now, you know, what you mined 3 years ago is worth, you know,
a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. So you never know. But yeah, I mean, that card is, and because of the results of these two things, we now know this is the most powerful graphics card that NVIDIA has ever made. It beats their Quadro cards as well. At mining, at everything.
Oh wow.
I assume, talking about the Quadro stuff, you will see Quadro cards based on Volta in 2018 at some point.
Yeah.
Because they can't have the card because in the Quadro cards
they're losing money pretty quickly.
Yeah, their Quadro cards are $4,000 and $5,000.
Yeah.
And if
they
the card
need to make those sales.
Yes. So I assume we'll see those in the future. But we're going to skip down. Since we were talking about cryptocurrency, let's skip down to the Starbucks story, which is really interesting. You know, you go to Starbucks, get a coffee, and you jump on the Wi-Fi, right? Typically. That's what I do when I'm there. I work from Starbucks a decent amount of time. But you jump on the Wi-Fi. And it looks like in Buenos Aires, in one store, that the Wi-Fi that you connect to will use your machine to mine cryptocurrency. Now, again, this isn't necessarily, I mean, part of it is, but part of it isn't. It isn't Starbucks' fault. So at most Starbucks locations, even here in the United States, the Wi-Fi is set off to a third party. So a third party runs the Wi-Fi. Starbucks doesn't run the Wi-Fi. I'm sure that's in your area. I know the Starbucks that I always go to, not run by Starbucks.
Yeah.
This guy, Noah, he's a chief executive of a New York-based technology company. He noticed when he connected the Wi-Fi, it took a little bit longer than normal. And it kind of made him wonder what was going on. And looking at the code of the site that popped, you know, when you connect to a public Wi-Fi, the code that pops up, he noticed the CoinHive injection, which is a JavaScript miner that uses your computer's CPU power to mine cryptocurrency. And we talked about this before and how that it could change online advertising. And I know there's websites that use it to make money. And either they injected this code or the company that's behind the Wi-Fi did this, which, you know, wouldn't
that
be surprising.
Worth it for them.
Yeah, you never know. I was actually following up on this, and he said that this was at least three locations in that area.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, three locations and, say, you know, people on their laptops and you could over time make some decent money, I think.
Definitely.
You know,
a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, exactly.
How strong is, like, say, your iPhone? How well good of a miner is your iPhone?
probably not that great. But I mean, it can be done, right? And the thing is, if you have, you know, just like a botnet of all of those devices mining, I mean, a little, you know, 10 cents here, 10, you know what I mean? Like, it just adds up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really interesting. I think that, you know, you're going to see a lot of stuff like this because of cryptocurrency blowing up and how easy it is to inject these things. I mean, we could put it on ThinkComputers, you know what I mean? I could put CoinHive on ThinkComputers and have everybody that visits the site mine cryptocurrency, but obviously we care about our user experience.
And ultimately, it's mineware or malware. And
yeah. So most of the like I have AVG and the other McAfee, and they'll pick it up now because they'll pick up the CoinHive URL. Yeah, and they block it.
Yeah,
it's actively blocked. But again, there's other ways around it. And again, most people don't know, won't realize, and that's the thing. When you're talking about public spaces like Starbucks and other, you know, free Wi-Fi out there, most people won't even notice it.
Checking your script right now to make sure that ThinkComputers is clean. It looks like CoinHive is not injected yet.
We don't have any CoinHive. No, so, CoinHive will be running. So
moral of the story, when you're in a Starbucks, make sure you're hitting F12 every once in a while.
Or just any public Wi-Fi you're at, just do that or control delete and see your CPU usage, and if it's stuck at 100, there's an issue. So we'll go back to graphics cards. And EVGA is doing a really cool kind of promotion thing.
Yeah.
They're calling it a Christmas miracle, and they're offering you 1,000 EVGA bucks, which is dollar for dollar equal.
Yeah.
That's just what they use at their online store for your old EVGA GeForce 4 MX440 and GeForce 4 4600 Ti graphics cards. Those came out in 2002, so I don't know how many people have those. Maybe if you have an old system in the basement or in storage, or you just have one of these laying in a box. I don't even think I have one of these.
Did you ever have one?
Oh yeah, I had a GeForce 4 for sure. I remember getting it and it was awesome. not the EVGA. I don't think it was EVGA, but that's cool. I think that maybe they're trying to get back some of these cards to like keep in their...
They might be doing a display or something.
They just, you know, they don't have any of this.
This is probably the cheapest way to do it, maybe even.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find the older cards. I mean, I know a lot of these companies now, like, everybody's nostalgic and they want, like, you know, like, I know Cooler Master, like, has a, like, a warehouse, but, like, a display of all of their old cases. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of companies do that in, like, their entryway to their main... offices or whatever, they'll have their old parts and stuff in there.
Yeah. So yeah, so if you happen to have one,
I'm checking eBay right now.
And $1,000 will get you a 1080 Ti.
And some.
So you can pick up 1080 Ti. I don't know what they... Oh, and EVGA makes some of the best power supplies, so you get 1080 Ti plus an awesome power supply for it.
Nice.
I
think somebody might be... Oh, no, these are generic GeForce 4.
Yeah, you have to... It has to be the EVGA ones. But yeah, if you found somebody who's just randomly selling it on eBay and doesn't know about this promotion, pick it up. Or if you know somebody that has a bunch of old computer parts, they might have one of these
now, in there. Now, those two... the pictures in... Or the two cards that are in the little ad, the advert, those are photos of the actual cards, right?
Cards. They are, yes.
Okay. And there's no other variants, probably.
Probably not, no.
Okay.
I imagine
I'm not the first person that's doing this either. So
I don't think, because this was all over Reddit as well. Yeah, so, yeah. But if you happen to have one, it's a good way to get a brand new graphics card.
The 11 series to come out. Hold on to your $1,000 and then...
I assume that just like you have an EVGA account and you have the money in there, so... So yeah, so we'll move over from graphics cards to cooling. And about a month ago, the CEO and CTO of EKWB or EK Waterblocks, they left. And there was a big discussion on what's going to happen to EKWB, because losing two big parts of the company is a big deal. And they've been fine. They've released stuff on time. They, you know, they've had a couple new product lines as well, and they're doing fine. So nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing for EKWB, but it turns out that both the CEO and CTO have moved on to Corsair.
Yeah.
And Mark, who was the CEO, he's now the vice president and BU manager at Corsair, which is a new business unit over there. And Nico, who was the CTO and head of marketing at EKWB, is now the director of engineering at Corsair. So this makes us think that while Corsair makes AIOs and that's what they're really known for, it seems to be that with these guys coming over, Corsair is going to get more into the DIY market. We've seen Fantex and Thermaltake get into it. Mm-hmm. Corsair, why not? Corsair is much more well known for water cooling than those two companies. Yeah. And if anybody's going to do it, it would be Corsair, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they haven't already when you stop to think about it.
Yeah.
But you do need somebody that knows what they're doing. Now they have those people. The only thing I'm wondering is, what about non-compete? Because usually when you're with a company, you know, you're not taking proprietary designs with you. So what does it give to them to have these guys?
Yeah, that's true. We did see Raja move from AMD to Intel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just the knowledge and the knowing the market and knowing what works and what doesn't work. You know.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can't use the same designs, but you know the technology and all that.
Yeah, in water cooling, I mean, the differences between one patent and another, like, it's all so close.
Yeah.
Like, what, when you're talking about non-compete, like, how do you prove that it wasn't taken, you know?
Yeah, even if they...
so close together in design.
Yeah. And I think that one thing that's interesting about this is that obviously Corsair is a much larger company.
They could litigate their way out of it, actually.
That and the fact that they're going to have more resources for these guys to create products.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, we're going to be seeing Corsair at CES, so...
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Maybe we'll get some inside stuff, at least some info. I doubt 1 month is enough for them to have a product unless they're just finishing off something that was already in the works.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see. We should write that down to ask them about, though.
Yeah, definitely.
If they'll tell us. Hopefully they'll tell us.
They'll tell us, I'm sure.
Off camera they'll tell us. Yes. So we're going to talk about Synology, and of course they make network attached storage devices, and they just introduced, I want this thing so bad, is their FlashStation FS1018. And it is an all-flash based network attached storage device. So you have 12 2.5 inch SSD bays, which of course will take your solid state drives. And I just can't imagine how fast this thing will be.
RAID Plus 1. Yeah.
This thing is just, this is what you need. This is what we need for our video content right here, man.
Yeah. What is 2 terabyte? Is that the largest solid state you can get?
I think you can get a 4, but it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah, like 6,000 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
see what a 2 terabyte SSD costs. What are we gonna populate our 12 bays with? Okay, so $550 gets you a Crucial. I'd be pretty happy with a Crucial MX drive in there, with 12 2 terabyte drives. Those are pretty solid drives.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
You could step up and you could go with the Samsung 850 Pro for $892 a piece.
Yeah, we'll do that. So okay, what we'll is that? So $892 times 12.
Times 12.
Oh, it's only 10,000.
Plus the NAS.
You don't know how much a NAS is.
Probably another 1,000.
It's probably at least 600 or 700. So you're looking at 12,000.
But dude, so fast.
Yeah. Oh, you would be, yeah.
Dude, 12 terabytes rated and backed up. RAID 0 plus backup.
Yeah.
You're streaming your 4K like nothing.
Yeah, and I believe this has the 4K transcoder in it, so you can connect this
to your theater.
Yeah, you connect this to your home theater, and it will trans. And if you you're streaming from it, you're not just like, I believe there's an HDMI on the back of it, but even if you're streaming to a portable box or whatever, all the transcoding is done on this.
Right.
So your whatever device you're using doesn't have to do all of that, which is cool.
Yeah. So, really high quality stuff out of this.
Yeah, it has a 10-bit 4K H.265 video transcoding. So if your device isn't capable of 4K video playback,
doesn't matter.
It will. Yeah. Well, not on top of that, it will transcode 4K to 1080p as well.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And it's also obviously this has a virtual machine on it, so
yes,
you're not just blind in this thing.
Yes. So it's pretty awesome.
And you have reviewed Synology, one of their newer NASs, right, within the past year or two?
Yes.
And that virtual machine was really, that was the thing, right? It was exceptional.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The management software is awesome. So
yeah.
So yeah. I want one of these.
Yeah.
Yes. So
well, maybe you'll get one for review and slowly you can purchase.
Yeah. Slowly I can start purchasing drives for it. So. So let's move over to gaming, and we have three stories this week. First is that Fortnite hit another plateau. It has 30 million players and 1.3 million concurrent users.
Yikes.
Which is just to show you that this Battle Royale thing is not going away.
Not only that, but Fortnite has really hit on the format that gamers seem to like, because it is starting to take over the space from PUBG.
Yes, so, yeah. I would say.
It's free for one thing.
Yeah, it's free. You know, the normal Fortnite game is not, but the Battle Royale version is free.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, it's just worth even checking out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have the new 50v50 that got announced at the Game Awards, and I need to get some of that.
Yeah, I think I might actually install this.
We do some games over the weekend. It is Christmas weekend here.
Oh yeah, it is. We could do that. I still need to download Star Wars, though. Yeah.
Are you? You're gonna get it?
Yeah. I like, you know, as much as all the drama with that game, it's still a Star Wars game, and I like Star Wars games. Yeah. I like playing the game. You know.
Yeah, I wanted to play the story, but then I heard the story was not exceptional, and that it was only about 4 to 6 hours long.
Still, I'd rather take those 4 to 6 hours and play a Star Wars game.
Okay.
But that's just me. Any of these games are, if they're free to play or whatever, which we'll talk about a couple more here, worth checking out, especially like you said, Christmas time, you're stuck either at your parents' house or whatever, and you want to play some games. This is one to check out. So H1Z1, which is basically the precursor to PUBG, it's free to play. It's still going on, so yeah. So not only is it free to play, but it will be 75% off on Steam. So I think this is like, again, their thing to bring more popularity back. And again, it's the holidays, so we're seeing a lot of this stuff through games. I know some people that played this. I never played it, but it's the same kind of concept, really.
Yeah. It is definitely, and the only thing with this one is, you know, the other games came after, so they kind of built upon and, you know, fixed the things that those players had noticed that game needed. So it's kind of, if you played the others, probably lower your expectations a little bit for it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But it's only $5, so.
Yeah, 75% off right now on Steam, so. Yep. And then finally, I think it's up, or maybe it's not up. What's today, the 18th?
Yeah, it's still going.
Today's the last day. So this podcast will go up today. So hopefully you guys can get on this. But we talked about it last week, and Ubisoft was giving away two free games. What was the game last week? World in Conflict was last week, or 2 weeks ago. And then this week is Assassin's Creed for Black Flag. And you gotta get this one. This is free. Yeah. We have the
it's
link.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game, and it's free. Did you pick this one up?
I just registered for it, but I've actually had it for a while. Since it
came okay. out. Okay. I never had this, and
got
I
got 30, 40 hours in it.
Yeah, so I this is a game I might play as well over the holiday. So yeah, let's just pick it up. We have the link in the article. So
nothing
awesome.
Like, nothing like sailing a pirate ship, honestly.
Love the time period.
Yeah, it's fun.
And obviously Assassin's Creed games have always been, in my opinion, some of the best single player games out there too. Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the Assassin's Creed games is all of the quest lines. It's so like, what do I do? Distracting.
Yeah.
Pulls you in too many directions at once.
Yeah, I agree there too. But yeah, so we have the link in the article. Pick that one up. Another free game. So I think, you know, over this past year, we talked about a lot of free games. So you guys should have a pretty decent library from all the stuff we've told you about. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And as I said, I will be checking out a gaming chair. And I'm checking out the Nitro Concepts S300. As we talked about, all these gaming chairs kind of look the same. The big difference with this one, instead of having the fake leather, it's fabric, which is different.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what you think of this one.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that one, because it is a little different. But I do like the chair, and it has a couple other features that are a little different that kind of set it apart from other ones. Obviously, comes in a ton of different colors, just like all these gaming chairs. So that will be my third or fourth chair I've reviewed. So kind of give you a good idea of what I like and what I don't like. So
yeah,
check that out. And then we'll be doing a big, not big article, but a video, which is already done in the article, on 5 affordable smart home devices that are under $40. So the big thing with smart home, people say it's very expensive, but I've come up with 5 items that I have and that I've used. It's not just stuff I find online, obviously. 5 great products that are affordable and that can help you get started with smart home. Because I know a lot of people, especially the reason I was so hesitant about smart home was the central hubs weren't here, you know? And I can control everything with my Echo Dot, or you can use it, you know, with Google Home and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
That really got me into it, and I got a bunch of products, and I've been using them, and I love it. And now it's just so weird to like turn on the lights without like asking to do it, you know. So I think it, and the video, I finished it yesterday, and I think it came out really good. So we have that coming, and Fractal Design is releasing a new case. Can't tell you about it, but it's a new version of one of their major series of cases. So that will be coming out this week as well.
They've always had really good cases.
Yeah, so this is, I think, again, this is a great time to launch right before the holiday, and right before CES. It doesn't get knocked in all the news at CES, which is cool. So yeah, that's what we have coming up next week. Probably some more articles and other things thrown in there. Just depends on obviously what we get done. So it is the end of the podcast here. We talk about if we did anything cool. I know Derek, everybody knows Derek went to go see Star Wars. I haven't seen it yet, but
all right, so let me tell you, but just basically the plot.
No, don't tell me anything. Just tell me if you liked it.
Oh, it's such a mixed bag.
I haven't read anything. I've just like, I'll be on Twitter and I see like headlines, like all this. So I heard a lot of people didn't like it. I heard, you know,
it's not so much that I didn't like it. Right. And I'm going to go see it a couple more times too, to be sure. Probably tomorrow. The thing is there are some amazing Star Wars moments in this movie that if you've seen any, you should see this one. Don't miss it. But yeah, there's I don't want to discourage anybody from like seeing it or not seeing it at this point. It's just too early on, I guess.
I'm not sure when I'm gonna see it. I was thinking about going tomorrow, but then I can't tomorrow. I don't know. I'm gonna try to see it. I want to go during the day, you know, when like nobody's around.
Yeah.
I don't like crowds, so.
Yeah, you know. No, it's definitely, man, you gotta watch it. But
yeah, I'm gonna go see it eventually. Hopefully before Christmas I'll see it. I'm trying to think of anything else I did this past week. Worked on all the smart home stuff, which was a lot of fun. I think that's it.
creating content.
Yeah, creating content. A lot of video content is coming out this week and next week, so we'll have some really cool stuff for you guys. And of course, keeping things rolling all the way up to the end of the year. And then, of course, we have CES the second week of January. Second week of January. So we'll have all of that stuff for you. So we will end things here. As I always say, we have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you want to get more information on either the reviews or any of the news we talked about, you can go ahead and do that. And if you're looking to subscribe to the podcast or anything like that, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting software. So until next week, catch you guys later.